Begin the current daf in Sechtes Gittin, daf Mem Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a braisa with a machlekes between Rebbe and the Rabbanon regarding if someone's meshachar chatzi avdei, if he frees only half of his slave, and that was introduced because of our Mishnah, which was speaking about a case of chatzi avdei chatzi mecharin, which the Gemara thought that supported the opinion that holds that you could be meshachar chatzi avdei, and the Gemara ended up saying that no, it could be talking about a case of two partners. And everyone would agree that since he's freeing all of that half that he owns, so therefore that's going to be a valid shechur. But the machlekes Rabbi and the Chacham was regarding one master and one slave, and he frees half the slave. Is the slave going to be kind of half of himself as Ben Chayrin or not? Rabbi says yes, Chacham say not. There was a machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef regarding what is the case that they're arguing about. Rabbi says that everybody agrees with kesef, if it's through pidyon, if he redeems half of his value, then it's going to be kind of chetzyon. As the pasuk says of haftalei neftasa, you could do it halfway. But the machlekes is regarding a shtar shichur. Whereas Rabbi Yosef said that no, their machlekes is both regarding kesef and regarding shtar. The chacham hold you can never free half of an eved if it's with one master. That was machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Now on that, the Gemara continues qualifying this machlekes, where Amar Rabba says machlekes the machlekes Rebbe and Rabbanon, which again they disputed. Is it in all situations or only regarding shtar? But their machlekes was b'sheshichur chatzioi v'ni chetzioi, where the master had only freed slave, freed half the slave, but he left over the other half that he didn't free. Where, according to the Rabbanon, who they hold that it's not going to work, is because they hold that, just like we find law, we learn that it says law by shifcha, and says law by a woman, just like a woman can't be half divorced, so to an eved, a shifcha can't be half freed. So therefore, it has to be totally. Now, so it's in such a case where they argued. But says Rabba, av shichur chetzi u'machor chetzi. But let's say, yes, you only freed half the slave, but you originally, before you freed that half, or at the same time, you sold half of it. So you're not holding on to anything. Or you free half, and at the same time, you gift the other half. Oh, then says Rabba, kibin de kanafik minekule. Then, since the slave is totally leaving the master's domain, says Rabba, divya kol kana, there even the Rabbana would agree, everyone would agree, that the slave would acquire himself, even though there's only half a shikr, but it's only in the element of shikr, but leaving the master's domain, either through mechira or through matana, through gifting or through selling, he's totally leaving together with the shikr, that's going to be valid. That's Rabba's opinion. Now, that Amalei Abaya asks on Rabba, is that really true? Ubukule loy pligi? You tell me the Rabbanon do not disagree in the case of when he's totally leaving, albeit that it's a half a shikr and the other half is through matana or mechira? But I'll prove to you that machlekes Rebbe and Rabbanon has to even extend to a case when he's totally leaving because it's only half a shikr. Because I'll show you as follows. But tani chada, there's one brice that says as follows. It says a kaisim nechasam l'shnei avadav. If someone writes over his entire estate to two of his slaves. In other words, he writes two different documents. He writes, all my property is to this slave, and another document he writes, all my property is to this slave. Then he merits the two documents to one agent, to one person at the same time. He gives them both documents. And that's where we say that, okay, so the two slaves are going to have to split the estate because no one slave is getting all of the estate before the other one. They're all receiving it at the same time. So says the Braisa, Kanu, they both acquire all of the estate, Umeshachrin Zeh, and then they free each other, and the reason being because since each are getting the whole, that means two people getting whole is each one's getting half. So each one has half of the other slave. So each one, now they're part owners in each other, so then they free each other, and then they split the estate in half. That's one Braisa. But Vitanya Idahulun, in another Braisa that says, similarly the same type of a case, it says, Oimer, if someone says, someone says, all of my properties are given to this and this of my slaves, to two slaves. Says the Braisa, not only they're not going to split the whole estate between the two of them, they're not even going to acquire themselves. They're still avad. So says the Gemara, says Abaya, now they're obviously seemingly arguing. My love, isn't it as follows? Ha, the first braisa that says that they are kind of themselves and they split their estate and they free each other. Ha, Rabbi, that's going like Rabbi. But Vaha, but the second braisa is like the Rabbanon. So we see, says Abaya, because or else how do we understand these two different braises? Then must be the Rabbanon, even in a case where ultimately, even though there's only a half a shichur, but since he's being freed, ultimately, both halves, one by one slave getting his own half, and the other slave getting the other half, and then he's freeing the other slave, and each one's doing that to the other, that's how Rebbe holds that's going to work, because he holds chatzis shichur works. But we see in the case of the Rabbanon, the second braisa, that even though it's totally leaving, but since it was done in halves, it's not going to work because it was only a half a shichur. The other half is getting because he's being gifted by the other slave. So that disproves your premise that they would agree if it's keep it nothing and make kule. But here I prove to you from the series of braises that one braise has to be like Rebbe and the other braise like Rabbanon, even though he's totally leaving because it was only a half a shichur. So I think Gemara says loy. And the Gemara has three different approaches how to resolve the contradiction in the braises that it wouldn't contradict Rabbi's interpretation. And that there's other ways to resolve it and not to say that this is like Rebbe and this is like Rabbanon, like Abaya had said. Rather, the Gemara says, idvi idvi Rabbanon. We could actually say that both braises are like Rabbanon. Ha, the first braise is the Amar Kuloi, is where he says, all of my properties are going to them. In other words, he writes two documents, as we explained it, and in each one of the documents he writes, all my properties is going to this Eved. Now, there the rabbis agree that since he's meriting it to the agent who's receiving it to Mizaycha for both Avodim at the same time, so they're totally being removed from his property at the same time, so therefore they will acquire themselves. Rabban would agree over there because it's totally being removed. It's a total shichur for both of them at the same time. Ha, but the second braisa was the Amar Chatzi Chatzi, where he said he's giving half. In other words, he writes in one document to one slave, half of my property goes to you. And he also writes a second document to the other slave, and he writes, half of my property goes to you. Now, that's why they're not going to even acquire themselves. And the reason being is because in each document, he really is only freeing half the slave because he's only giving him half of his estate, which you could cut everything in half. And then essentially, he's getting half of himself, but the other half is still being owned by the owner. Now, Rashi explains even more, which some Rishonim contest with this, that he says that even we're not even talking about necessarily a case where he writes and gives over to one, and then he goes and gives over to the other one, where for sure they're not going to acquire themselves, because when, let's say, when he gave over to the first slave, so he left over half, which again, the Rabbanan's opinion is that you can't be Meshachar half, and he won't acquire it, and so too for the second one. Actually, Rashi says that even if he would be giving over to both of them at the same time, they wouldn't acquire it, because since he's only giving to each one half of his properties, says Rashi, maybe he's giving both of them that same half. And they're actually maybe, let's say, going to get a quarter of that half, whatever it is, or they're both contending for that same half, and therefore he's still leaving over the other half for himself, so therefore neither one of those slaves are getting the entirety of themselves. And that's why the second braisa says that they're not going to even acquire themselves, because that's a half a shichur, and they're not even leaving, only, and the other half is still owned by the owner. So therefore, that's one approach to resolve the two braises, not that the first braise is Rebbe and the second braise is Rabbanon, and even though it said Kulai, that he was giving them all of them, and they were leaving somehow entirely, but since it was done in halves, it's not going to work. No. If it was done entirely like the first braise, then even the contra Rabbanon would work the way Rabbi said it. The second braise is Tobma, that he said, half of my property is going to you, and he says, so although the wording made it sound like Kol Nechzai, the Mefarshim explained that it means to say it would sound like it's all of it, because he gave this one half and this one half, so you would think that means that it's all of it through the two of them. It's not true. He's giving maybe the same half, and that's why it's only a half a shichur, and that's why it's not going to work. Now, in this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but v'hamaytani sefer, but we learned at the end of the second braisa that said, which you just interpreted was talking about where it's chatzi chatzi, he's only giving half of his estate to each slave. The braisa then says, v'im amar chatzi chatzi loy kanu. That is, and if he says that he's giving half in each document to each slave, then they're not going to acquire themselves. Now, the assumption of the Gemara at this point is that what he's saying is, that is, if he says that half goes to this one, half goes to that one, that they're also, besides the case of the ratio, which we said they're not going to acquire themselves, they're also, it's not going to work. So ask the Gemara, Machlal, the inference is, the ratio d'amakuloi must be that, so what's the case of the ratio? must be that that's talking about not chatzi chatzi, not that he wrote that you get half of my estate, that he said that you get all of my estate. And therefore, and still we see that they're not going to acquire themselves. That's not like the approach we just gave in the Gemara. The Gemara's approach was trying to say that it's both brais like drabanan. Just the second brais, which said it's not going to work, is because he wrote chatzi chatzi. But you can't say that because the end of the brais then says another case, which is chatzi chatzi. Must be the first case, which was saying it's not going to work. Must be even when you write in each one kulay kulay, and still it's not going to work. So that's seemingly like abaya, not like rabba. So the Gemara answers no. Pirusha kumafarish. The end of the brisa is not a separate case. It's explaining the beginning of the brisa. Meaning, when the brisa says, af atzman lo ikonu, that even themselves are not going to acquire, explains the brisa ketzad, what type of a case are they not going to acquire themselves. That's kigun do amar chatzi chatzi. That's, for example, if he wrote in each document, I'm giving you half of my properties. But yes, if he had written all of it, then it would work. Like the first price says, the Gemara is answering that the first price is also like the Rabbanan, and they agree when you're giving all of it, the way Rabbi had explained. But the Gemara actually says, Hachanam Mestabra. The answer that we just gave actually is logical to say this. Because the Isak Gedai Dechreisha Damakula, if you would entertain how the questioner was assuming, that if the safest Toma Chatzi Chatzi, must be the Reisha that says that they're not going to acquire themselves, is even in the case of when he says, I'm giving all of my property to you. So then the Gemara wonders, Hashta Amakula Lokanu. So how would you understand the price of that? If even in the case where he's telling each one, I'm giving you all of my estate, they're not going to acquire themselves, which like Abaya's premise, because it was done in halves, even though they're ultimately totally leaving. So amachatzi chatzi mibaya. So would you entertain to say that to require the necessity of saying that if he said I'm giving you half, that then they're not going to acquire themselves? Obviously, if even when you're telling each one you get all of the estate, they don't leave. For sure, when you're telling only half, so must be, says the Gemara, like we had answered, it's only perusha kamefarash. It's one case, and the sefer is explaining the resha. Now, that raya, the Gemara says, no. Imishum ha loy ari. If that's your whole proof, then it's not definitive. Because you could say, tana seifa legluya resha. Could actually say that, no, the seifa was revealing regarding the case conceptualization of the resha. In other words, shaloi taima, that you shouldn't say that when you're reading this braisa, that resha is dama chatzi chatzi, you would think, oh, that what's the case of the resha when they don't acquire themselves? That's when you tell each one you get half of my property. Avul amar kulay kanu, but maybe you would err and think, but if he writes to each one you get all of it, then they would acquire themselves. Tana sefer dama chatzi chatzi. No, that's why we have to say a different case in the sefer. When he tells each one you get half of my estate, we're then machla that you could infer, yeah, you're right, it wouldn't be necessary if you already say the ratio to say the seifa, but you would mistakenly interpret the ratio to machatzi chatzi. So if we're telling you the case of the seifa is chatzi chatzi, so you can infer that the ratio is the amar kulay, where you even said to each one, you get all of my estate, and even so, you're not going to acquire yourself, like Abaya had said. In other words, we could give the answer that we gave, but not. But we thought to say hachanam mistabra, and that thing we're saying, no, it's not necessarily, because you could say that, although it wouldn't be necessary, but it would be to be megala aresha, to reveal that if that's a different case, must be it's a case of kulay, and still they're not going to acquire themselves. So that was one approach to resolve the two brises, and not to be a difficulty on Rabba. The Ibai Seymalei Kashra, the Gemara says, I'll tell you a second approach to resolve the brises, not to say, as Abaya had necessarily said, that the first brise is like Rebbe, and the second brise, even if Toma Kulo is like Drabanan, and still they're not going to be clear themselves, not the way Rabba had started off on this stuff. So how do we resolve the two different brises? We could say that Khan, the second brise is talking about Bishtar Echad, with one document. That's where the brise says that they're not going to acquire themselves. For example, the case we'd be talking about, on one document he wrote that all of my properties are given to this and this slave. Where in one document he wrote it to both of these people, to both of these slaves. Where there it's not going to work, because as we mentioned in the previous daf, it says law by divorcing a woman, and it says law by divorcing a slave. Which, just like by b'chasav la sefer krisis by a get, it says the drush is law v'loy l'chaverta. You can't divorce two women with one get. It has to be only for her, not for another woman. So two slaves cannot be divorced, cannot be emancipated with one get shichur. That's why the second brisa is saying that's not going to work, because of one document. Kam b'shnei shtaris. The first brisa that says it's going to work is because when he's saying that I'm giving all my properties to you, and then he writes a different document, all my properties are going to you, then it is like Rabbah had said, where since all of it is being written to them and they're getting out, even though it's in two halves, that is going to work even according to the Rabbanim. Now the Gemara asks, B'shtar Echad, it's regarding the second brisa that you said it's talking about that it's in one document. So then the question is, why is it that, as we explained before, that the Seifa is explaining the Reisha, which we said, so what does the Seifa say the case is talking about? That it's Chatzi Chatzi, that it's, he's telling each slave, you're getting half of my estate. So that the Gemara is asking, why? The way you just define the second brisa that's talking about it's in one document, and that's why Shichur is not working, because you can't do a get Shichur for two Avadim at the same time. So then even if he wrote to them that you're getting all of yourselves, it's not going to work. Why then is it talking about a case of chatzi chatzi? So the Gemara says, no, you're right, hochenami koma, that it's not. We're changing how we said it before, because of the questions we said that the Sefer was only explaining the Reisha. And the Gemara says, according to this interpretation, it's actually two different cases, as follows. The second Brisa is saying that if af atzmam loikonu, that even themselves are not acquiring. And that is bamedva murum, what's that toma, like we qualified before, in contrast to the first price. So it's bishtar echad, is when it was written in one document, of bishnei shtar is konu. But if it's written in two different documents, they'll acquire themselves. That's because it's toma the case of when he wrote that each one is going to get all of the estate. Now, that's where the sefer comes to say a different case. Vim amar chatzi chatzi, but if he said to each one, you're going to get half of my estate, that's what the Brice is concluding and saying that there, af b'shnei shtaris namalekano, then even by two separate documents, they're not going to acquire themselves again, as we explained before, because that would be leaving over parts that he still owns in them, because since he's only giving them half, could be you get half for yourself, but I own still the other half, and that's why, even if it's in two different documents, they're not going to acquire themselves. So that's again the second approach, which is again the regarding the differentiating if it's one document or if it's in two documents. And the first answer had differentiated between if he says kuloi or if he says chatzi chatzi. The ibay same alakash, or the Gemara says a third approach, that it's not going to be difficult. How do we resolve the contradiction of the two brises? Not to say like Abaya had said that one's like Rebbe and one's like Rabbanan, but rather that both brises are talking about that he said to the slaves, I'm giving you all my properties. But Khan, the first brisa, the one that says that they're going to acquire themselves, is talking about when he gave over the two documents, bevas achas, at the same time. So since it happened at the same time, and they're all getting everything, so then they're all being divorced. They're getting their whole entire selves at the same time, and they're getting 50% of the properties. But Khan, the second brisa that says they're not going to acquire themselves, is bezachar zeh, was one after another. Then you're not getting the shichur at the same time. You're getting, let's say, half of yourself at that time, but the other half is owned by the other slave. Since you're going to run into that problem, then that's considered a chatzi shichur, which is not going to work, according to Rabbanan. But if it's at the same time, that's what the first price was saying, then it's going to work. So here the differentiation is if it was at the same time or at different times. Now, this third approach, the Gemara asks, Bishlem Abbas Lekone, I understand why you're going to say that the last slave who gets the document of all of the nechassim is not going to acquire himself to hakani lekamo, because the first slave had already gotten all of the estate elekamo. But the question is, but the first slave likni nafshe velekani lechavrei, let him acquire everything. When you give the first slave kol nichsai, all my estate goes to you, so then he should get everything. He should get himself, should get all the other slaves. Now when you're giving it to the other slave and you were kol nichsai, that's not going to work anymore because you already gave it over to the first slave. So I understand why by the second one you say he's not going to acquire himself, but the first one should acquire himself. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, you're right, machfarta, it's clear, kadeshanin me'akar, we have to say like we answered before, this third approach obviously is untenable, because at least let the first slave acquire himself. Rather, we have to say, either like the first approach, that the second brace that says they're not going to acquire themselves is because he wrote to each one only chatzi chatzi, only half of their estate. Or like the second terz the Gemara had given, that it's when is it not going to work according to Rabbanan, is when it's written in one document, where you can't divorce, you can't be meshachar to avadim in the same document, with love lo b'chaverta. But again, we still hold on to the interpretation of Rabbah, not like the question of Abaye from the two brises, and that is if it was all of it at the same time, two different documents, where you're having a total removal from the rishus of the other, and even though it's like a chatzi chatzi of shichur, then it, even the Rabbanan would agree that it's going to be emancipated. Now, so the Gemara had fell off the third interpretation because of the question that was just asked. But Rav Ashi Amar, he actually wants to offer an interpretation to sustain the third teretz. The question was, wait a second, so you're saying that each one gets all of the estates, so he said the second one for sure, because the first one already got, he can't be getting all of it, so he's not going to acquire himself. But the question was, what's with the first one? Why shouldn't he go free? So in that, Rav Ashi says, no, Shani Hasam, there it's different by that second Braisa, because the Kukarilahu Avadiyai, it's because in the document itself, he called them slaves. Because as we learned there in that Braisa, it says, he writes, the guy had written that all my properties are given to this and this people who are my slaves. So obviously, says Rav Ashi in resolution of this third interpretation, and or even in standing in its own right, how to interpret the second Braisa, that he didn't free them. And it was a mistake that he made, this master. He thought he can give them all the rest of his estates without freeing them. Because he obviously he's not freeing them because he's still calling them slaves. So and therefore, that's where Rav Ashi says that whatever it is, that definitely is another interpretation with the second price. And even according to the second approach, whether even if he's giving it at other times or whatever the situation, whenever you call them avadim, the second price says is not going to work because it calls them slaves. So if you're calling him slave, you're obviously not freeing him. And he just thinks he can give them half of his estate without freeing them. Now, this interpretation of the second price, the Gemara asks, only Rav from Rav Ashi. Rav from asks to Rav Ashi, he says, what type of a proof is this? V'dilma avdiya shahoyu kvar. Maybe this that he's calling them my slaves is meaning in the past, meaning I'm giving these get shechers, including with half the property, to those slaves of mine, because up until now they were slaves, but not that it means mikan labo. It doesn't mean that because they're still going to be slaves. It means something in regards to the past. And says Rafam, I'll prove it. Me, like Tanan, didn't we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Peah that says, the Mishnah says, if someone writes all his properties to a slave, so the slave goes free, meaning he gets all the property, which includes himself, so he acquires himself and everything of his master's. But, let's say the master gave him everything but one small piece of land. In other words, he writes in the document, I'm giving you everything besides this small piece of land. Says the Tanakama, he doesn't become a free man. Now the reason is, according to the Tanakama, is because we don't know which land, he said, besides a small piece of land, but he didn't delineate which land it is. So therefore, by every single piece of land, we could say maybe that's the little bit that he was leaving over for himself. So since ultimately, karkois, land, the Eved is not going to acquire, so the Tanakhama holds he's not going to acquire himself either. Now, what's the reason? It's because based on the halachic principle of what's called loy pagin dibui, we don't divide a person's words into two. In other words, since it was with one statement, with one shtar, that he was giving over to himself, the Eved himself, and all his properties, but half of the statement's not working out at the end, just because you can't ascertain which was that small piece of land that he's holding on to himself. So since half is not working out, which is the karka, the other half also doesn't work out, he doesn't get himself either. Because you can't say, we pal gidin on the bui, that we split his words in half. Since half is not working out, then you don't give him anything. That's a bit in Tanakama. Shimon Oimer, he disagrees. He says, no, lo'ilamu ben chayrin. Such a case, the Eved would become a free man because he holds Pagin and Dibur. We do split up the words. In other words, since he specified that what the master said, what I'm leaving over, what I'm not giving you, is land, so good, land the Eved won't acquire. But himself, that was not part of what the master had said, I'm not giving you, so that he will acquire. So although it was with one sentence that he gave him everything, but half, which does fit in, he will get, we do say Pagin and Dibur, we do split someone's words in half, that half will work and half will not. But, says Reb Shimon, Acha Yoimer, until when he says the following case, Kol Nichsay Nesuni L'Ploini Avdi, he says, all my properties are given to that one of my slaves, Chut Mi Echad Mi Ribi Shebehen, except for 1/10,000 of my property. Now, since he didn't specify what it is that he's leaving over, so we could say that what was that 1/10,000 was the Eved himself. And the reason is because he's doing it denigrating, saying that he's not even worth 1/10,000 of his property. So that's what he's leaving over, and therefore I can give him everything in the world, whatever, komashakon the Eved, kon the Rabbi. So really it's like he didn't give him anything because he's not going free, so he doesn't go free. Now, says the Gemara, this is what Rafam is telling Rav Ashi, time of the Amma chutz mi echad mi ribi shaban. Now, the reason why he doesn't acquire himself is because he said, except for 1/10,000, which could refer to the Eved himself. But Hala Omer Hachi Kani, says Rav Raffin, but if he didn't say that, then he would acquire himself. On that, the question is, am I? According to you, why? Well, Eved Kakari Le, like we see in the wording of the Mishnah, he said, I'm giving all my nechasim to my Eved. He called him an Eved. Ella, rather, says Raphram, what does it mean he's giving all his stuff to his Eved? Avdi Shahoy Kfar, meaning who was my slave up until now. Hachanami Avdi Shahoy Kfar, here is also the same thing. It means my Eved who was up until now, and therefore he disproves Ravashi's answer to resolve to two brises, according to Rabbah, with the first brise would be talking about where he doesn't say the word Eved, and therefore then the Rabbanah would agree that it works since he's leaving the Rishus totally, whereas the second brise wasn't working because he called him Eved, and then he says, no, because that's not a good interpretation, as we find in another Mishnah, the fact that he used the word Eved doesn't mean that he wants them to remain Avadim. It means who was an Eved up until now. Now the Gemara continues regarding the topic of our Mishnah, which was said regarding someone that's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin. So the Gemara introduces the following Amaroic statement that relates to the halacha of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Nokhoi Shair, if an ox gores an Eved, that's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin, on a Yom Shel Rabbi, on the day, which is the day that his master works in. And that is, as the Mishnah told us, Basil's opinion was, before the Takana, or even before the total shichur, whereas that when since there were two owners and one owner freed him, so he's half free, half slave. So what does he do? One day he works for his master, and one day he works for himself. So on that says the Gemara, if an ox gores him on the day when he works for his master, meaning whatever he earns that day goes as if he's a regular slave and goes to his master. So if an ox gores him that day and inflicts a wound and creates what's called pchas damav, He creates a devaluing in the value of the slave. That is l'rabbi. That, when an ox gores a person, he has to pay damages. The owner of the ox has to pay damages to the one who's being damaged, which is called the decrease in the value. That payment will go to the master, because whatever Eved has that day, whatever monetary value that comes to him, goes to the master. Yim shalatzmai latzmai. But says the Gemara, the day that it works for himself, so then, if he gets damaged that day, it goes to himself. Now, that the Gemara asks, Elamiat, if that's the case, well then, why don't you say the same thing regarding other areas of halacha? Yim shel rabbah yisa shivcha. So then say, what, the day that he's working for his master, well, then he's an Eved, then he can marry a maidservant. Yim shel atzma yisa bascharin. What, and that the day that he's free, he can marry a Jewish woman? But you can't say that, as our Mishnah says, that he's stuck in such a situation. But then why is it any different than when he gets damaged, which is also things that impact the future, because he's for the rest of his life, he's in the decreased value. So why? Because it just, like it's called in Yiddish, punkt. He happens to be working for his master that day, so then the master gets all the money. But we don't say that regarding marriage. We don't say, oh, that day he's never marry a shivcha, because tomorrow he's not going to be. Here also, why does the master get all the money when tomorrow he's not going to be a slave for his master? So that the Gemara says, no, isru lo kamrina. We didn't say that he's halfway, and therefore every day that he's half, he's totally for that, regarding prohibitory law. Meaning, because regarding giving over monetary aspects, where then we say, just like when he's working, the whole amount of the work goes to whoever he's working for that day, whether it be himself or his master. So to any what's called shvach mammon, any increase of money that he gets that day, which is also for payments of damages that was inflicted on his body, that goes to whoever he's working for that day. But regarding prohibitory law, that we didn't say that. That is obviously related to his internal status, not just what he's producing. Producing is money. So that could be that day, what he's producing. But regarding internal status, he's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chayrin, and therefore he wouldn't be able to marry either one of them. But the Gemara continues asking, Tashma, let's bring it right from the following statement. Hamis, and as Rashi explains, at least this is in the assumption of the Gemara, that we're discussing what's called a shur hamud. And that is an ox that gores once and twice, and it's a question if it's three times or four times, he then becomes what's called a shur hamud. He becomes an ox that is known to gore. Where the halacha is, when he's a shur hamud, if he gores a slave, he has to give 30 silver coins, which is a penalty, to the owner of that slave. And that's even if, let's say, the slave was not even worth just a dinner, you still have to give these 30 sloim. Now, that's regarding when the ox gores, a shur hamud gores an eved, a slave. When he gores a ben chayrin, a regular free man, he has to, the owner of the ox has to give what's called kaifer, which is an atonement money, which is the value of how much the person who was killed was worth if he was, let's say, was sold as a slave in the marketplace, that you have to give to the yarshim of that person who died. So says the halacha, hamis, if the ox kills misha chetzi evi v'chetzi mechayr, which is unique, it's a he's a half slave, half free man. So what do? So says the Gemara, noisen chatzi knas l'rabbi. He gives a half a knas, I mean this 30 usually, he gives half of that to the master. And as we continue on Tamad Beis, the chatzi kaifer, and because of the half of him that's free, he has to give half of the atonement value of the person who was killed, liyarshav, to his inheritors, which the Gemara later on, Daf Mem Gilmud Aleph, is going to ask, how exactly does a chatzi evid chatzi mecharin have yarshim inheritors? Is it, in other words, as if the free part of him has, which we said before, a chatzi evid chatzi mecharin can't marry anybody. So how could he have yarshim? But that's what the Gemara says for now. Now that the question is, amai, based on the halacha we said before, hachanami lei mehirosi, you should say the same thing. What do you mean that you're giving half of knas to the master and half of kaifer to his yarshim because he's a chatzi evid chatzi mecharin? What do you mean? Depends what day he was killed. Yom shel rabbi l'rabbi. If it was the day he was working for his master, it should be just a knas for his master. Yom shel atzmi l'atzmi, the day that he's working for himself, should only be kaifer for his yarshim. What is this doing half and half when it depends on what day it is? So I think Gemara answers, no, shani hacha, this halacha is different. The kokal yikarna. Because here, the karen, the principle of what's being damaged is totally depleted, is totally removed. He's killed. So that's something that's eternal. That's not something that's just the product of this day. So since he's killed, that's obviously something that's going to impact no matter what day it is that he's working, both himself and his master. So that's why we give half to the master and half to his yershim. But in regards to things that are not mechal yikarna, where it's just something that's temporary, that's just an area of shvach moment of some type of when you're suing and you're getting something which is not going to be permanent damage, that's going to go for whoever gets money that you're working on that day. So the Gemara asks, so what would be such a case of that it doesn't for eternally diminish the principle? Because seemingly every case of nezik, of damages, even if it doesn't die, which was a case that we were discussing before, is destroying some part of the principle. And you said in such a case that then you would split it amongst himself and his master. But you said before that it's going to be depending on the day. So what's a case of damages which is not totally diminishing some part of the principle to say that it depends on the day? So the Gemara says the case would be kagoin sheko al yaday v'tzamsa yaday, where the injury was on his hand and then his hand dried up, meaning some type of it was damaged, but v'seifa lachzer, but it ultimately will end up becoming healed. So then what we do is that we evaluate how much it has his value been diminished had he been sold right now, because that's the damages that he's having for whatever it is, the next few days or next few weeks. If that's the day when he works for his master, then everything of all those nezik is given to his master, and if it's a day that he works for himself, it's given to himself. Because it's not kal yikaren, it's not something that will forever eternally diminish some part of the principle, because it's gonna regenerate, it will get better. It's just for the next few weeks, it's not going to be good. That's what we said, depending on the shvach moman, on the day, whoever it is that he's working for on that day. Now, this interpretation, the Gemara asks, Hanichala Abaye de Amma. This works very well according to Abaye that he says, as brought in Baba Kamen of Pevav Manalev, regarding, and that there it's discussing regarding when a person damages his friend. So Abaye says as follows. He says, Nisen le sheves gedoyla, v'sheves ketana. When someone damages his friend, so he has certain liabilities that come with that when he injures his friend. So one of the five things that are called the Chamisha Devarim, when someone damages that he has to pay, he has to give tsar, nezik, ripui, shebes, baishas, his embarrassment, his pain, there's a lot of different things he has to pay for, the damages. One of them is what's called sheves. Sheves is the loss of work that was incurred by the person that was injured. Now, Abai explains that there's actually two types of sheves, meaning sheves means like stopping, like the word Shabbos, stopping that you can't work. So the sheves gedoyla, there's the large sheves, which is the decrease in the person's value at that point. Meaning to say, if he was sold right now in the marketplace, he would have been lowered in value because of the injury. That is called the large sheves, and that's actually the equivalent of what nezik is, of what damages is, although it's temporarily, but it's a damage in the person. Now, the reason why it's called sheves is because it's only a decrease of his value for now, and that's why we call it Shevis. It's just impacting his work. Whereas Rashi explains, there's three different levels essentially to a person that he's recovering. There's a person right when he's damaged that can't do anything, then because he's totally incapacitated, then when he gets better, so he's still not as great because he can't use all his faculties, he can't use, let's say, both of his hands. Then, when he becomes totally healed, then, but still he has the damage that he's living with for the rest of his life. So Rashi explains, at this point, right when he gets damaged, so he can't do the work with both of his hands until he gets back the use of the hand, like we called it, that was dried up because of the injury. So that's a temporarily, but it's a nezik. Now, he is fit, however, to do a lesser type of a job, like watching cucumbers. Now, but that's only after the injury wore off a little bit. Now, Shevis Katana, the minor Shevis, the more acute Shevis, is, even if we would consider him as a Shemek Yeshuin, as a watcher of cucumbers, but all the time that he's ill in bed, he's in the hospital recovering, so then he can't even watch cucumbers, that's Shevis Katana, that he's missing, even the lower type of work he's missing. But then, there's something more than that, which is that he can't do the work of even the, there's the not even doing the work of the cucumbers, which is Shevis Katana. Then there's the Shevis Gedaila, which is regarding his total overall loss that he has because he was downgraded from his regular work to the work of cucumbers. So those are the two types of Shevis. Again, that's besides the concept of Nezik. So on that, the Gemara says, according to Abaya, that there's two levels of loss of work. One of the more acute, that you can't do any type of work, even for the low one that we're giving you, let's say, for the Shevis Gedaila. And then there's the Shevis Gedaila, which is the type of work you can't do that you had been able to do before the injury, even though you could do, let's say, a lower level of work, like watching cucumbers. So Shapur, so says the Gemara, now it makes sense that since that in this injury, there's an element what you would call nezek, of damage, where an ox is liable for. And moreover, since we're explaining that it's a case of when it's not what's called kalye karna, it's not totally eliminating forever some principle of the slave, so then it's like, as we explain, that the day that he's working for the master will go to the master, and the day that he's working for himself will go to himself. But El Rava, but the Gemara says, according to Rava, the Amad that he says, he disagrees with Abaye in principle about how you qualify the Shevis. Rather, he says, there's only one type of a Shevis. He says, you only give the loss of work every single day. In other words, according to Rava, there's no diminishing in value in the concepts of Shevis. In other words, if it's just a temporary thing, which is really how you qualify the loss of work, because damages is something that you're forever damaged like that, according to Rava, you're not really having any element of what's called pchas damim, of losing value in the person himself, which is really what nezek is, because since, as we described the case we're discussing here in the Gemara, he's ultimately going to be healed. So what you qualify is every single day when he's laying in bed, how much would he normally be paid for the work that he usually does? And now, when he's sick, either if he's totally sick and he can't do any work, which Abai was calling Shevis Katana, or even if he's not totally sick, but he's still not at full force, where he can't do the regular work that he usually does, but he could do a lower level of Shemek Yeshuin, of washing cucumbers, says, so on that, Rava holds that you pay him for how much he would normally be paid. So again, if he's watching cucumbers, and then you don't have to pay him everything, you pay him the difference about how much is he making less now as a watcher of cucumbers than it is from the job that he always had, which he was able to use his hands for. And if he's in bed in the hospital and he's not doing any work, so then you pay him all that amount. But on that, the Gemara asks, since according to Rava, there's no Shevis Gedaila, which again is the qualifies, according to Abaya, a lessening in the value, even though it's temporarily, but it's classified as a nezek, as a damage from the essence of who the person was, that he was a two-hand worker. And now, he's just a one-hand worker. So on that, the Gemara says, according to Rava, that he doesn't hold of that. So Hai Sharhu, the case we're describing is a case of an ox. Bishar in the Mishalim el nezek. An ox only pays when it damages a person the damages of nezek. In other words, since a person when a person would damage, he in this type of a case where his hand is only temporarily withered away, the only type of a damages you would really pay for is sheves. Now, according to Abaya, sheves has in it an element of nezek, even though it's temporarily. But according to Rava, the question is, since sheves doesn't qualify for any nezek, it doesn't classify pchas damav over here, there's no sheves gedayla, an ox is totally exempt from sheves because the halacha of the five types of damages that we said before is only when a person damages another person, not when an ox damages another person. As the Gemara learns from the pasuk in Be'yirka Chavdal, it says, ish ki yitin mum ba misai. When a person will put a blemish in his friend, the Gemara darshan's v'loy shur ba misai, not an ox in his friend, then there's only damages and no sheves. So the question is, the whole interpretation that we said before, how to qualify this case of loy kal yikarna to describe why it makes a difference what day the ox gored the slave to see on the chatzi evet chatzi ben chayrin. If it's going to go to him or it's going to go to his master, what's the case of loy kal yikarna? So he said that his hand dried, but it's going to heal ultimately. Well, then you're only really paying for the loss of work. Now, according to Abaye that tiers it at different types of loss of work, and he considers it as separate categories, that Sheves Gedoyla is an element of Nezek, that we could understand that the case of Shar would have that payment. But according to Rava, he says that there's no such a thing. There's one Sheves, which is the loss of work, whether it's total loss or part loss, it's not considered in the element of Nezek. So then the question is, how can you qualify that that's the case we're discussing if there is no such payment for a Shar of Sheves? So the Gemara has two answers. If you want, you could say that this that we had mentioned before, the halacha that we started off with, which was that the day that he works for his master, is going to go to his master, was actually talking about kisheko adam. It wasn't, although we had assumed, and as we had said that when we said the halacha, that the Gemara was assuming that it was talking about an ox, asher hamud, goring the chatzi abed, chatzi bin charen, it actually wasn't talking about an asher, it's actually talking about a person. A person is chayev for chamisha dvarim, including sheves. So there, that would make sense, according to Rava, that sheves, which is a shvach moment, it's only temporarily, that depending who he's working for that day, is going to get it. That's one approach. Or if you want, you could say that, no, actually, it is like we had assumed. It was told about anax. And it's like a baya that said that you do have a category of sheves that really is the category of pchastam, of nezek. Now, although we had asked, so what's Rava going to do with that? It's actually memrihi. It's actually an amarug statement that we had said. It's not a Mishnah and it's not a Brisa. Remember, the Rava, really, and you're right, Rava, who said this halacha, doesn't hold to this memra. He disagrees with it. He holds that no, in such a case, it wouldn't go to anybody because there actually is no Sheves from a Shar. And that halachic case of loy kal yikarna, of hikal yodah, b'tzamsa yodah, v'seifa lachzer, is something that's only Sheves and there's no Sheves by a Shar. The Gemara continues in a related discussion and says, Ibailu, that the following question, again, continuing on this halacha of which one of them is a chatzi evet chatzi mecharen, mu'ukiv get shechra. If there's a slave that's lacking a document of emancipation, in other words, like all the cases we mentioned on previous dafim, which we say that the slave goes free and the master has nothing over him, just that the slave needs to get shechra from him. For example, like we mentioned in previous dafim, if he's makdish is eved, or he's mafker is eved, or like the case we're discussing of chatzi eved chatzi mecharen, which our Mishnah said, kaifin es rabbi, that we force the master to free him. So he's already essentially free. The only thing is that he's lacking a get shichur. So the Gemara has the following question. Yesh loy knas? When an ox gores that slave, does the master get the 30 shkolim that when a regular eved is gored, he gets it? Or does he not get the penalty of the 30 shkolim? So the Gemara explains the question. Kesev shleishim shkolim yitin la doin of Om Rahman. The Torah says that 30 silver coins go to the master. V'hai la vadenu. And here he's not his master because he's essentially free. All it is that the Eved needs to get shikhar from that master. Let's say in the case of when he was mafkir his Eved. Oidumor, the Gemara says, no, maybe kivin the mechusa gets shikhar since the Eved is lacking a document of emancipation. Adon krinabe. Ultimately, he's still considered his master. As you see, I need to free you. So maybe he does get the knas of the Shleishim Shkolim. So the Gemara says, Toshima, it's being arrived from the Braisa that we had mentioned before. We said, Hamis Misha Chetzi Eved Vechetzi Bin Charen. The Braisa said that if the ox kills someone that's a half a Eved Chetzi Bin Charen, so we said, Noisin Chetzi Knas L'Rabbi, you give a half a penalty to the master, Vechetzi Kaifel Yashav, and a half of an atonement of the value of the person to his inheritors because of the Tzad Charen Shabbat. So the Gemara assumes in its attempt to answer the question that we had asked, my love, Kamishna Achreina, isn't it going like how the ultimate retraction of Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, where they ultimately agreed, which is called the last Mishnah, the final version, where they agreed to Bishame that we force the master to free his slave. So he's already considered like free, he just needs to write the get shechur, which didn't come yet. And still we see in this brisa that the master will take the knas because of the part of the avdus in that eved, as long as a get wasn't written. So though really he's considered free, even the half that he owns in that slave, but since it wasn't given, so we see that he does get the knas. So similarly, that answers our question that any mu'ukav get shechur is still called an adin. And I think Mar says, lo, no, it wouldn't be a riot, because you could say the brisa is toma kemishnah rishayna, like the first version of how Beis Hillel held, where that we don't force him, and that we Beis Hillel held that no, when he's a chatzi ebe chatzi mecharen, one day he works for the master, and one day he works for himself, and therefore the master is considered a total adin, at least for half of the evan, and that's why he's going to get half of the knas. But there's no raya that when he would have to give a get shechur, that even then it would be considered as an adin. So the Gemara says, Toshim, let's bring a different raya. The brisa says, Hippel, if a master causes to fall out Es Shinoi, the slave of his Eved Kenani, of his non-Jewish slave, and then the Simes Enei, then he wasn't finished with the slave. After he knocked out his tooth, he then blinded his eye. Says the brisa, so Yaitze B'Shinoi, first things first. First, by his tooth being knocked out, he goes out and he becomes a free man. And that's the halacha which the Torah says, Yaitze B'Shen Ba'ayin, if a master knocks out his non-Jewish slave's tooth or eye, he becomes free. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that, okay, he's free, but you still have to write a get shechur, meaning monetarily he's free, but you still have to, prohibitory law, you have to write a get shechur to free him. Now, and therefore, if this guy's beating him up, he first knocks out his tooth, and then, obviously, right away, he knocks out his eye, that's what we're talking about, whatever the interaction they had, was before he got the get. And still the brisa says, v'noisin d'me'enoi. So he goes out free because of his tooth, and then, since he was free by the time his tooth was knocked out, next when he knocks out his eye, then he has to pay him for the value as if he's injuring a free man. So says the Gemara, V'i amred yesh leknas leknas l'rabba, if you would entertain to say that someone that all he's lacking from his master is a get shechur, and still you want to entertain that he's still called an adin, and so there's a knas, and the knas would go to his master. So then the Gemara asks, but hash techav li ba'achrine, yavile l'rabba, if you want to entertain to say that if someone else would injure this slave, let's say after his tooth was knocked out, and then someone else, let's say, punched him in the eye and blinded his eye, you want to entertain to say that the knas would go to the master, because he's still mu'ukav get shechur. So chava bei rabbi gufi, so then in this case that the Bryce is discussing, where his own master went and injured him, yavi leili didei, what, he has to go ahead and give it to himself? What is the Bryce saying that noisin demei enoi, if you're telling me, and that's what you're entertaining, and obviously it's not like that, that the master would still be considered master, even though monetarily he's free, but because he didn't give a get shechur, then what would it mean that he's giving the me'enoi if it goes right back to himself because he didn't give a get yet? Now the Gemara says, not a raya. Maybe this price is going like the opinion that holds that when a master knocks out the tooth or the eye of the slave that he goes free, he doesn't need a get shechur. So he's not like the cases that we're discussing, a mu'ukav get shechur, because he actually doesn't need, he's free automatically. And therefore, of course, then he would have to give the me'enoi to his slave. The time, like learn the brisa, it's actually machlokes. The brisa says, bekulon, regarding all the 24 tips of limbs, which are mentioned in Masechtas Nagoyim in the 6th parak, where it talks about that those parts of the body do not become tamei because of a michya, of a nega on those parts. Those parts are the fingertips, both of the hands and of the feet, the tip of the nose, the tips of the ears, the tips of the male organ, because since they slant in either direction, so the nega cannot be seen to the kohen in one shot. You can't look at it at one glance. You would have to look at it in different angles to see the whole nega. That doesn't qualify for what the pasuk says in Meikriyat Gimel. L'chol mare in our kohen. It has to be visible to the whole vision of the eyes of the kohen. So those are the 24 tips of organs which are not included in the halachas of nega. So the Brisa says, so too, there's another area of halacha that they apply to, that eved yoytze ben lecheres, that a slave, if those tips of organs are injured by the master, those would also allow the slave to go as a free man. And the reason being is because there's two characteristics of them. They're blemishes that are revealed parts of the body, and moreover, they don't come back, just like the eye and the tooth, which are knocked out, which the Torah says that he goes free, which the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin Nefchav Dalman Beis learns it out from a klal prat a klal, to have these two characteristics, that whatever has those two characteristics have the same halacha. But, says the Braisa, but he still needs a document of emancipation from his master to be totally freed. That's the Rabbi Shmuel. But he says, no, you don't need to get shechir, you're totally freed. And again, that's what the Gemara was saying, that it's not a raya, because it could be going like those who are like Rabbi Meir, that you don't need to get shechir, so of course you're going to give the dimei enoi to the slave. Now the Braisa continues and shows that this is a big machlekes. Rabbi Loza, you need to get shechir. Rabbi Tafin, you don't need to get shechir. Rabbi Kiva, holds you do need to get shechir. Hamachrin lefnei hachachamim, now those who decide and qualify before the sages, which is the most appropriate of the machlokes as to qualify as halacha, which Rashi says we don't know who that is, they say as follows. They say, Nirim divrei Reb Tarfon b'shin v'ayin. It would appear to Paskin, like Reb Tarfon, that you don't need to get shechir when it was the eyes and the teeth that were knocked out. And the reason is, Hoyil b'Torah zichzalai, since the Torah merits it, the Torah says explicitly by the tooth and the eye that it goes free, so regarding those things, you wouldn't need to get shechir. But v'divrei Reb Akiva, but it would seem appropriate, the opinion of Reb Akiva holds that you do need to get shechir b'shari varm, by other limbs. Why? Hoyil v'knas chacham hu, since it's only a penalty of the sages, there you would also need then additionally a get shechir, which the Gemara asks, knas? What, it's a penalty of the sages? Hakroi kadashinan. But as we mentioned, the Gemara in Kedushin learns this out from a klal prat klal from Psukim. It's a biblical halacha that all the 24 limbs, the person is freed based on their injury. So why over there would there be any difference? So Eleim, Rav, the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean hoil knas chachamhu, hoil umedrish chachamhu. Since it's a rabbinic interpretation, yes, it's a biblical halacha, but it's the rabbis that interpret the psukim like that. So as Taisa says, we're concerned that maybe the master who injured his slave in, let's say, one of his fingertips, will find him in the street and say, you're my slave, because he's not aware that the halacha applies to these other things too. That's why over there, the machrim lefnei chacham said, we would require a get shechir from the master so that he doesn't claim anymore he's my slave. He knows he already freed him. But by shen v'ayin, when he knocked out his eye or his tooth, they were not concerned, because we say, hello, you ever go to cheder? You ever learn just a pasuk in Chumash? Pasuk in Chumash says he goes free. And therefore, they were not concerned that he's going to come and claim that you're my slave, which would make problems for him and his children. So there is where they said it makes sense that you would not need to get shechir. But by the other limbs, there it would make sense, like Rabbi Kiva, that you would require a get shechir. But again, that's important that we brought in to say there was no raya regarding the question that we asked, if he's considered still an adin regards to the knas, if he's just mokav get shechir, because that's not the case. No, it's not an ikav get shechir. You could say the Braisa was going like the opinion of Reb Meir and Reb Tarfon, and those who hold that there was no requirement of a get shechir. Similar type of question in a different area of halacha. They said ibaylu that the following question, again with a ma'ukiv get shechir, if someone is really free, the only thing he's lacking is a document of emancipation, eichel b'truma. If let's say he was a slave of a kohen, does he still eat truma or does he not eat? As the Gemara explains the question, kinyan kaspei amar Rahman, the Torah says regarding truma that the acquisition of his money, which includes his slaves, they eat truma. V'hai, but this slave lav kinyan kaspehu, he's not the acquisition of his money, because actually monetarily he doesn't own him at all. Oydimor, the Gemara says, or maybe kivin mechusa get shechir, since ultimately the slave is still lacking a document of emancipation, so he is still considered the acquisition of his money, because he bought him with money, still owns him in regards to at least get shechir, so he's not totally removed. Maybe he would still qualify for consuming truma. So the Masa Tashim Alitz Bin Raya, the Amar Rav Mesharshir. Mesharshir said, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Yevamos, the Mishnah says, Kohenes shenis arv vlada bevlatshev chasa. What happened is that the wife of a kohen was giving birth at the same time as her maidservant. And by at the birth, it got confused. They don't know who's the child of who. Is this child the child of the kohenes or of the shifcha? So what you do is as follows: Hare elu oichlin b'truma. Both of them, for meman of shach, whichever way you look at it, could consume truma, because one is either a kohen himself or he's the eved of a kohen, and the eved kohen, a slave of a kohen, could also eat truma. Now, moreover, v'chalkin chelik echad al hagranis. They split one portion when they come to the granary to collect truma As the Gemara explains in Masechet Yevamos Daf Tzadik Tesmen Beis, what this part of the halacha is saying is that when they say they get one portion, it means to say that you're not allowed to give to either one of these boys when they come to the granary without the other boy. The reason being is because this Tana holds that you're not allowed to portion Truma to an Eved Kanani by himself at the Gurin, unless if his master's with him. And the reason being is because we're concerned that maybe people are going to say, oh, this guy, I saw him by the granary collecting Truma, he's a Kayan, and they elevate the status of someone eating Truma from the granary to the position of Kuna, even for Yichas, for lineage regarding marriage, which could create problems because he's not a Kayan, he's an Eved Kayan. But now that he's coming together with the other one, they're not going to elevate him to that status because they're not going to be sure. They're not going to say he's a Kohen because they're going to say, oh, he might be an Eved Kohen because he's there with the other one who maybe is his master. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Higdilu hatarubis. When this intermingling of these two boys, when they grow older, then what they should do is, Mishachrin ze'ezeh. They free each other. Meaning to say, if I'm the Kohen and you're my Eved, I'm freeing you. And if you're the Kohen and I'm your Eved, so then you're freeing me and then they're both going to be free people. Now, however, the case that we're discussing over here, obviously, is what is really in the category of Mu'ukav Get Shichr. Because the master, whichever boy is the master, whichever one is his Eved, doesn't have anything over the other one because we don't know which one is an Eved. So essentially, they're both, as the end of the Mishnah tells us, they're both going to ultimately free each other. And no one could enslave the other one because you don't know who's a slave, who's a Kayan. So as it says, Higdila Tarub is Meshachar Zeh Zeh. So essentially, they both can't be worked by the other one. So neither one has any monetary aspect over the other one. The only thing is that they're each lacking, whichever one is the Eved, is a get shichr. And we learned that oichlin b'truma, that they could eat truma, even though, essentially, he might be not an Eved Kohen, he might be a regular Yisrael, because when he's freed, he becomes a regular Yisrael, not a Kohen, he was just an Eved Kohen, the Eved Kohen could eat truma. Now, you see that we're considering him as an Eved Kohen, even though the only thing he is Mu'ukav Get Shichr, but that still considers his master as a Kenyan Kasbei over him. So similarly, that answers the question. I think Gemara says, no, Hache Hashta, can you compare the two cases? Hasam over there in that Mishnah Masechet Yevamos, Im Yovei Eliyahu, if Eliyahu Hanavi would come. V'yoyim Rebbe Chad Minai, and he would tell you regarding either one of them, the Eved, who he knows, because he can see Klab Yishma Yigalia, who's the real slave and who's the real Kayan. If he says, which one is the Eved, then truthfully, that one is Kinyan Kasbei Krina Bei. He's not just a Mu'ukav Get Shichr, he's really acquired, he's owned totally, even monetarily, by the master. So of course they both could eat Truma, because one is a total Kayan, and the other one is not just a Mu'ukav Get Shichr, he's really Kinyan Kasbei. He's only Mu'ukav Get Shichr because we have no choice. When they get older, that's what they're going to end up choosing. But he's really a full-fledged Kinyan Kasbei. But Hacha, but over here, Lav Kinyan Kasbei Hu Klal. He's not an acquisition of his money at all because he was totally freed. He said that I'm being makdish you, I'm being mafdi you. He's free. The only thing is, he's lacking get shichr. There it could be he would not eat truma, and therefore that doesn't resolve the question at all. Now another related discussion. The Gemara says, Yibayilu with the following question. Eved shemachre rabbi. Regarding a slave that his master sold him to someone else only regard liknas, which we were discussing beforehand, regarding the penalty. And that is, the master said to someone else, he goes, how do you like the odds? I will sell that if an ox gores my slave, the knas, the 30 shkolim penalty, will go to you. But he didn't sell him for anything else. He only sold him for the eventuality of a knas. So the Gemara's question is, macher, at least regards to the element of knas, is he sold to that other person? Oy ain't a macher, or is he not sold? And that is, if let's say the slave ends up getting gored, we say that no, the penalty goes to the first master, not to the one he sold it to, because of what's known as the halacha, ein odem makne davar shelo ba'olam. You can't acquire something that didn't come to the world. It's not here. He wasn't gored yet. You can't sell the 30 shekelim worth of that because it's not here yet. What's the halacha? So the Gemara actually says, tiboy l'Reb Meir, tiboy l'Reb Rabbanan. You could ask this question both according to Reb Meir and according to the Rabbanan. As the Gemara explains, tiboy l'Reb Meir, you could ask the question according to Reb Meir, where although he's mentioned elsewhere in Shas, that he says, Adam could be makna davar shelo ba'olam. A person could sell something that didn't come into the world yet. For example, if let's say someone says to a woman, Hare et mekudeshes li l'kishes gayer, as the Gemara says in Kedushin Samach Gimel Med Aleph, if he says, you are engaged to me for when I convert, which didn't happen yet, Rameir says that she's mekudeshes, because you could sell something, you could do an acquisition that didn't come yet. So that, the Gemara says, you could still what's called clear the kasha, you could still ask the question, even according to a mayor. Why? Ad kan lekomer Reb Meir, ad makne shav davish label oilim. Because up until now, when did Reb Meir tell this halacha that you could sell something that didn't come into the world yet? That's el kugin peris dekel. That's, for example, like the case of fruits of a tree. Whereas, if let's say someone sells the fruits of a tree before the fruits even blossom, where it's a machlekes and mesechet sivamis between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman according to Reb Meir. So even such a case, where even if you would entertain that Reb Meir holds that you could sell the fruits of that tree, that's because the avidi du asu, because it's ultimately going to come. We know that fruits come to the tree, it just didn't come yet. So the Reb Meir holds, you could be maknet. Aval hacha, but over here, by the case of selling an eved for the knas, miyemer demingich, who's saying that he's going to get gored? Vimtim tzolem demikra, and even if you're going to say he's going to get gored, mimai demishalim. Who said that the owner of the ox is going to pay? Why? As the Gemara continues on top of Megillah and Alf, because Dilma Maida, because maybe the owner of the ox will come to court before witnesses testify regarding his ox having gored that Eved, and he's going to admit regarding what happened with his ox, which that halacha is what's called Maida Biknas. If you come yourself to court and you admit regarding a penalty that's imposed upon you, umifter. You're actually exempted by that. When you come and admit it, that's the halacha, Moed Biknas, is potter. So who says that it's even going to come? There's no even eventuality to it. It's a possibility, but there's no likelihood in it. Maybe the Rebbe would hold that you cannot be makna this davish label oilam, and if you sell the knas to someone else, it would not be a mechira. And b'tibay l'rabbanan, you could ask the question the other way too. Ad kam lekam rabbanan ein od makna davish label oilam, meaning up until now we know the rabbis hold that you cannot be makna something that wasn't bala oilam. That's elikagin peris dekel. That's like the fruits of a palm tree. And the reason why they hold there wouldn't work is because the hashta mielasnu. But that's because right now, it's not here. You can't sell something that's not here. Avul hacha, but by the case of the knas of the eved, hakoi shar v'akoi eved. But the ox is here. The eved is here. The two of them are here. The two ingredients that make the halacha of knas are here. It just didn't gore, but the things are in the world. So therefore, the question would be valid, even according to Rabbanan, maybe they would agree that you could sell the knas, and that wouldn't be a problem of what they normally say, dovish alayba la'ilam, because that's the fruits are not even here. But here the ox is here, and the slave is here, and therefore maybe you would be able to sell the knas. That's the question that's valid both according to Rameyer and according to the Rabbanan.